Hold on, I'm busy ordering these latches for Igloo Elite coolers. Actually, you can use them on, I think, all the Igloo coolers.
Do we need to test, get somebody to jump in that cooler to make sure?
I got an 8-year-old that'll jump in anytime. You'll see that story. If you haven't, at FM Talk 106.5, my Twitter feed, I posted up a story out of South Florida. It's on the website of our news partners, WKRG, about this kid gets trapped in an Igloo cooler. Okay, down in Florida. Now, like, that's bad. It's not a good thing. But he was trapped, I think the story says, for like 10 seconds, 15 seconds, like, not that long. I mean, but now they have a full recall happening on Igloo coolers. Yeah, here it is. Igloo recalls coolers after Florida boy gets locked inside. And 5-year-old Nicholas Waynes of Pompano Beach, Florida, climbs in the cooler to hide. I guess he's goofing with the parents. You know, mm-hmm. Children like to hide. Get ready. If you're not ready with your daughter, they will hide from you. And then,
I'm ready for pranks.
No, that's okay. So that's one of the favorite pranks, right, is to hide. So the kid gets in the cooler, and the cooler drops. And somehow the kid, with his fingers there as he's getting in, makes the latch drop. Now, these are not the plastic latches on the Igloo cooler. There's some that just push tight, right, you know, with friction, keeps them closed. Some have a little plastic latch, two of them on the bigger ones, one on the smaller ones. Mm-hmm. And then you can upgrade. Either you can get the coolers that already have these real latches, these metal latches, or you can buy them after market and put them on.
Yeah.
And as a guy that keeps some Igloo coolers alive on the boats and stuff, I've purchased these. Well, now Igloo says they have a voluntary recall of their, these are all the Igloo Marine Elite, the 72 quart, 54 quart, 94 quart, and 110 quart. Those are the ones, I guess, come standard with those latches. The kid, it was a very odd set of circumstances to have the kid get in the cooler and latch it on top of him.
Yeah, because okay. This is the first story. I mean, how long mm-hmm. have Igloo coolers been around?
Forever.
First time I've heard of anything like this.
So if you go watch the story, you'll look at what this. They've got a video embedded because I guess they had a camera out on their porch, one of those security cameras, so a video of the whole thing, so you can see the video of the kid doing it.
Those are great for videos of pranks and stuff gone wrong as much as they are for actually what they're used for, security.
Pretty good idea. Yeah, you can see what what pranks your kids have pulled before you even do it. So the kid gets in the cooler. And so this is a scary thing. Listen, I feel for the mom and dad that that's scary what could have happened, but it didn't happen. But now what will happen with this recall is it'll be like the gas cans, you know, like your now they used to have a vent so you could pour the gas out. Now you have to let them suck air in through the main nozzle that the gasoline's coming out. I may or may not have some of the old ones stashed away somewhere. I think that's contraband. I don't know if I'm now, am I now a criminal that I have some of those gas cans? But watch them do this with the cooler. So I'm going to order all those latches I can today before the law changes, and I'll have a contraband Igloo latches for coolers.
Instead of changing everything, why don't they just, you know, slap another sticker on there? Like, I mean, we got it on the mattresses. We put it in toys, choking hazard.
Right.
Just slap a sticker on there. Make sure it's easy to peel off.
Say child trap.
Yeah. Children can get trapped in here. And then you're good to go. I think legally, and I'm no law expert, but you can't sue somebody if they do that.
Right. I guess. I don't know. People say the kids can't read that. All right. That's just a side note. If you go to at FM Talk 106.5 on Twitter, you'll see that full story. And if you want to chime in about that, that's cool. How do you do it? Well, the text line, the phone line, 343-0106, 343-0106. A couple stories for the national and the local level. Of course, the president battling again for funding for the border wall. We'll talk about that. Also, the battling another just flare-up of the culture battle against President Trump. And this one happened while I was up in Montgomery, and I was getting bits and pieces of it, and then kind of said, this can't be real. And then over the weekend realized, yes, in fact, it is real. The assault on President Trump for signing Bibles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's been taken to task for, I mean, the images are out there of the famous Donald Trump signature, and yes. People there in Beauregard who were happy to meet the president came down after the devastation from that tornado last weekend. But yeah, he was signing Bibles, and then like every single thing that the president does. There was a flare-up online on a lot of the national media where they were upset that the president was signing Bibles.
Now, okay, hold on one second. Let me just take one second here because I want to analyze this from a couple levels. First of all, the national media think that despises, you know, not all of them. I mean, it would be inaccurate to say they all hate Bibles. That's not true. But there's a you know, a bias against Christians that exists in many news agencies. Not all. Even some that you don't agree with doesn't mean they have an implicit bias, but some do out there. And if President Trump was handing out Bibles, if showed up in Lee County and was handing out Bibles to people, he would have been impugned for that.
Oh, for sure, because okay. Then he's telling them what religion they should have.
That's right. But now, all of a sudden, the turnaround that he is defacing, he's defacing the Bibles, he is not honoring the Bible. Interesting, AP had a story this morning, and they talked to different theologians out there about this. One of them, Herschel York, Dean of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary School of Theology in Louisville, Kentucky. About as hardcore as you can get right there, right?
Said, I think that's somewhere near the Bible Museum.
That is the Bible Museum, wherever that guy goes. Said he didn't have a problem with President Trump signing Bibles, like former presidents have, because he was asked and because it was important to the people who were asking. In other words, the Bibles they brought were important to them, and bringing it to the president to sign them. Quote here from the theologian said, though we don't have a national faith, there is a faith in our nation, and so it's not all surprising that people would have politicians sign their Bibles. Those Bibles are meaningful to them, and apparently the politicians are too. So now, on the flip side, the Reverend Donnie Anderson, executive minister of the Rhode Island State Council of Churches, it's a very small group because it's Rhode Island. It's not every day I get to have a Rhode Island joke, okay?
There's no mega church in Rhode Island, is what you're saying.
If there was a mega church, it would stretch outside the state lines. Come on, y'all, join in on the making fun of Rhode Island for a while. Okay. This executive minister of the Rhode Island State of Council of Churches said she was offended by the way Trump scrawled his signature Friday as he autographed Bibles and other things, including hats and posed for photos. She viewed it as a calculated political move by the Republican president to court his evangelical voting base.
Yes, everything the president does is very calculated. We know that at this point.
Said presidents have a long history. It goes on in the story. Presidents have a long history of signing Bibles, though earlier presidents typically signed them as gifts to send with a spiritual message. President Ronald Reagan signed a Bible that was sent secretly to Iranian officials in 1986. That's awesome.
Pretty good move.
President Franklin Roosevelt signed the Family Bible his attorney general used to take the oath of office in 1939. Anderson said that would have been different if President Trump had signed a Bible out of the limelight for someone with whom he had a close connection. So now it's not just the signing, it's how he signed it. All right. So it was, there's the debate, whether the president desecrated those Bibles by signing. I'll say this, no signing on the outside of our Bibles, and it couldn't happen, Family Bibles, because they're like leather bound, you know, black leather bound from the outside. But in our Family Bibles, we have Family Bibles that come from my mom's side that have all kind of writing in the you know, how they have pages in the front and the back of the Bible that are blank. I come from I come from Appalachian farming folk. So they didn't probably have paper everywhere. And they kept family notes like who died, who was born, different things in those pages. And you see, I have family members that have been dead 100 plus years. They're writing in there where they wrote on it. Those would have been the last people to desecrate a Bible.
Yeah. And I mean, I've seen dog-eared Bibles, people writing notes, saving verses out of the Bibles. I've got plenty of signed Bibles. You know, the front where it says whose Bible, you know, you put your name in there to keep
right,
it. I've had family members write their name in there when it's a gift. Yeah, so I think maybe...
But is this different because it's on the front of the Bible? Is it different because it's, you know, like an autograph, like a celebrity autograph? And if so... Is there any, if this is bad the president did it, is there any critique of the people that would have brought the Bible to the president to sign? Where's the critique of those people?
I haven't seen it. And that did stand out to me. It looked a little odd being signed on the very front of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, imagine if he had to, how long would it take? How many people had things out there for the president to sign. If he had to open every book and then find the right page to write it on, you know, if he'd written it on some verse, I mean, that would have been probably just as offensive to these people. But that looked a little odd, signing on the front. And I know somebody posted on Twitter side-by-side images of his signed Bible and a signed Playboy that's in his office, which that's, you know, an entirely different conversation. But, yeah, quite a few people upset over the Bible thing. And also, fake Melania has popped up again.
Now, explain this to
Twitter.
Me.
So there's been several times where Melania Trump has traveled with the president to different locations, whether it's for something awful like the tornado that tore through Lee County or other instances. And people take images of Melania, and usually it's when she has on the big sunglasses, wearing a big hat, and usually the pictures are her looking down. But there is a certain population of the country that believe that there is a fake Melania.
It's a conspiracy that there's like a body double.
That's right. There's a conspiracy that Melania, and this began when the news came out that Melania and Trump were having marital problems. Mm-hmm. Remember that? That soon after the election, after the Access Hollywood and the Stormy Daniels news, that they weren't exactly seeing eye to eye. So when she went with him on one of the next trips, people said, that looks a lot like a fake Melania. Maybe the real Melania didn't travel with him. And so that has revived after this trip to Beauregard, Alabama. Pictures of the First Lady and the President, and they're saying, oh, fake Melania's back up there. I looked at several of the pictures because I let these conspiracy theorists into my head, and it just looks like a sullen, sad
she's
Melania
of a,
Trump.
Yes, yeah. she is dressed down for the occasion. Mm-hmm. Not dressed down, dressed in a somber fashion for where she is.
And she's a model. She's all about fashion. We know that. So she knows when to dress in different ways. You know, if there's a Christmas party at the White House, she's not going to look the same as when she travels to Beauregard, Alabama to honor 23 people that passed away in a bad storm. But the fake Melania crowd at it again. So between the signed Bibles and fake Melania, it's been another week for Trump detractors.
All right, we'll get your take on that when we come back. Y'all ever any writing? Y'all ever have any writing in your Bibles?
What if he signed one and sent it to Ilhan Omar? What would that do in the Navy?
I like the little takeaway from the AP story. Now that you said that Reagan sent one to Iranian officials. Oh man! All right, 8:19. Coming right back. 343-0106. We'll talk next. Hey, is there a way to, I guess I could unfollow, but that's our news partners at WKRG. Is there any way to block specific content on Facebook?
Yeah, you can mute, Facebook, I don't know. I was going Twitter with
it. No, I'm on Facebook. This just popped up. Live Giraffe Watch. April's due date draws ever closer. I mean, and they have a long gestation period. I think she's like having Irish twins. And yes, I can say that as a Sullivan, so don't call with complaints. She's like having Irish twins with these. I don't want to blog WKRG. I love our news partners. I just don't want any of the April the Giraffe stuff. I just enough. Time that like all these things happen in the world, what do people care about? Is a giraffe birthing a little giraffe?
Well, imagine how April feels. If you feel this way, I mean, April had no say in this. The second time.
Yeah, moms out there, imagine that. You had a camera trained on you for your
that's exactly what I was thinking. As someone who's been with a pregnant wife for the last 10 months and a new baby the last month, I'll take pictures. I'm like, I want to get a picture of my wife and my baby. I'm going to save these. I love these. And anytime I think of posting one or putting one as like a desktop picture, she's like, oh, I look awful in that picture. I'm like, no, you don't. You look awesome. I think you're being a little critical. So April, with a camera trained on her for the 54 months that a giraffe is, I don't know how long their pregnancies last.
I think it may be longer than a human. Somebody Google that for me while we're waiting. But it's like she's having Irish twins. It's like they didn't wait. You know, I mean, they're saying you get in some of the families and they're like, here's brother and here's sister or whatever. And they are a year apart in age. And, you know, you look at them at school and they're like, every grade's got one.
They need a rabbit cam for those kinds of that live stream would last 5 seconds, right? A rabbit pregnancy.
So I just looking, if somebody knows how, I don't want to block WKRG. Love those folks. I just want to block the April the Giraffe content coming.
I'll look for a way you can do that.
All right, thank you. All right, we'll go to the phones at 343-0106. And Gerald in Somerdale, first up. Hey, man.
Good morning, Sean. How are you, gentlemen and ladies, today?
We're good, man. How about you?
Great. Fine, thank you, sir. just a comment on the Bible deal. I see no harm in writing in a Bible in the proper places. We have family Bibles that goes back, I know, 100 years, and there's writings and records.
Mm-hmm.
In the older years, the older generation used to keep records.
Yeah, that's like I said, my family Bible, same thing. I mean, we come from my folks. I mean, it's stuff well over 100 years in our family Bible.
Yes, I mean, and it's, there's nothing wrong with it, and it wouldn't make any difference what our President Trump done. It's going to be wrong to some people.
Well, why don't they criticize? I mean, I know the answer to it, but I like to ask this question. Why wouldn't they criticize those people that brought their Bibles? Although somebody said maybe they were handed out. I don't know that. But if somebody brought their Bible to have the president sign it, why no critique of them?
Well, because their name is not Trump.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that is the whole point. You know, I mean, it doesn't make any difference what our president does. There's a certain amount of people that's going to criticize him, and it doesn't make any difference. Sean, I appreciate you taking my phone call this morning. You guys have a great day.
Hey, thanks, Gerald. I appreciate your call. What if he would have... Would there be... I always want to have this time machine, the DeLorean from Back to the Future.
Yeah.
So we could replay scenes. So have it happen the way the president did it and sign those Bibles, and then we hit the time machine, we go back, and he refuses to sign the Bible.
Well, I mean, would past presidents recently... Recent presidents have declined to sign a Bible if someone held it out to them? I think they probably would have.
You think?
I think President Obama probably wouldn't have signed a Bible if handed to him. I just think that his base probably wouldn't appreciate that, so he wouldn't do it.
Well, that was the argument the other way, that the only reason President Trump did this is to play up to his evangelical base. Do you think that's true? Speaking of former President Obama, too, you said he chimed in about this crash of the... Which, by the way, Boeing has now grounded that... Which model is it? One of the planes here, because of the number of crashes.
Yeah, the crash in Ethiopia, and it was a Boeing plane. Was it a 747?
737 MAX 8. 737 MAX 8. It looks like they are ground. Yeah, that Boeing has now said they're grounding those jets.
And it was an awful wreck the weekend. 8 Americans, I think, were in that plane that died. Everyone on the plane died. But I was, going through the Twitter feed last night, kind of checking how things went over the weekend. And, sometimes you don't even follow people and they show up in your timeline. Mm-hmm. But I saw former President Barack Obama, a tweet from him said, "Michelle and I send our deepest sympathies to all who knew the victims of today's plane crash in Ethiopia." I was like, oh, that's a nice sentiment. But I'm just wondering if the president, former president, sent out a tweet about the Lee County tornado. So went to the timeline, searched back a little bit, and it doesn't appear that President Obama sent any condolences, said anything about the tornado that killed 23 in the United States, in Alabama. But
so only for international issues?
Yeah, so I just thought that was interesting, you would think that if you're sending out condolences to an Ethiopian plane crash, that you'd be covering your bases here in America, too.
You would think. Heather says on the text line, "I've taken tons of sermon notes in my Bibles. I've signed my Bibles, and even other friends sign my Bibles. I don't see anything wrong with somebody bringing their own personal Bible, and whether they want the president to sign it inside or outside the Bible, it is up to them." All right, here we go. No, see, Texter says, "I have a lady at my church that has a Bible signed by former President Obama." So, dingo.
I was way off, wrong. And
But my time machine, the time machine I want is the time machine that would have what happened with the president signing the Bibles to happen. Then we get in the DeLorean, all of us jump in there with the gold wing doors. We jump in there, and we go back in time, and the president refuses to sign the Bible, and then show me the news cycle after that. Does it? Is there consternation? Is there critique of the president, if he didn't sign them?
Yeah, that'd be interesting. I don't think it'd be interesting. I think there would be uproar regardless of what happened.
All right. Let's see. We have time for... We got to run quickly here to William in Clark County. Hey, William.
Hey, Sean. Real simple. Two things. Number one, those on the opposing side think that we're all a bunch of stupid, idiot rednecks who are glued to our Bible and our guns. So therefore, we're a bunch of idiots. We should believe the government is our God. And if we believe in the Bible and believe that Trump has been elected as a divine ordinance, that we're somehow just idiots.
What about the signing?
That's what's driving it more than anything. Why? They don't understand the Southern culture of whatever was important got put in the family Bible.
And that's also, I'll say this, my mom's people come from central Pennsylvania or the mountains of Pennsylvania. Same thing up there. Same thing.
Yeah, well, a lot of rural, this is the difference. Right now we're having a civil war between rural America and the urban centers. And it's like your urban people who think that these are a bunch of stupid rednecks who don't understand anything. I grew up in northern Michigan, is the same thing. Anything important went in the family Bible. And that, you know, having him sign the front of the Bible, so what?
There you go. Yeah, I mean, having a presidential signature on the family Bible, that'd be, I think, to a lot of families, be important. Hey, William, appreciate the call. We got to run to the hard break here, but we're coming back. Grab your calls next at 343-0106.
Thank you, Kane. 836 on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. Right now, it's time to head over to McConnell Automotive and talk to Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
Good morning, Dalton. How are you, big guy?
Hey, I am doing great. And great news from McConnell Automotive. Some good deals on trucks right now.
I think, hopefully, Dalton, every day we have great deals on trucks. But I think what's special is you're seeing people advertising 15 and 16, 17% off. But we've still got some 2018 Sierras that are up to 20% off. And I think, you know, people, Dalton, shop on the internet, and really coast to coast, nobody's going to beat a price than better than what we have at McConnell. And the exciting thing, Dalton, is you can come check out the new 2019 truck, which is things like the AT4, the Denali, and the regular X31. And, you know, if you do that, people can kind of pick their poison and figure out if they want the new truck or last year's truck with up to 20% off, which is over 10 grand. And all they got to do, Dalton, go to the website that I've got, which is McConnellAutomotive.com. Check all the deals out, buddy.
And there's a lot of love for that new AT4. What's so special about the AT4 Sierra?
You know, it's the first time that GMC has ever built a truck, Dalton, that they ship from the manufacturer with a 3-inch lift kit, with the big tires and all the cool stuff on it. And it's just, it's got that 6-function tailgate that Chevy and Ford and Ram don't have. And quite frankly, it's kind of the biggest, baddest-looking off-road-looking truck there is, and it's got a lot of luxury to it. So if you're in the truck market, I suggest nobody buy anything until they come and drive that AT4.
All right. Thank you, Mitch. Have a good one.
Y'all have a great day, Dalton.
That's Mitch McConnell. Go see him and the crew at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65.
All right, our phone number, 343-0106, 343-0106, also the same for the text line. And now, on the flip side here, Supermom says, I'm not criticizing President Trump for signing the Bibles, but why would a person ask him to sign their Bible? Maybe I don't understand the want for this action, but I would not even thought of doing that. And I'm a Christian and a Republican. But that's the cool thing. Like, you would say that wouldn't be for you. And The day that somebody compels you to take your Bible to have it signed by the president is the day that I'm getting between you and the president, because I don't want anybody compelled to do anything. But if these people chose to do it, and I probably wouldn't have thought of bringing my Bible to that place either, but these individuals did make that decision, and the president signed them. Once again, I'm not trying to be mean here, but why not a critique? If they're going to critique the president, why aren't they calling into question those people that brought Bibles to have signed?
Yeah, and
because that might get some blowback.
The question you had earlier, whether they were given the Bibles that the president was signing, it looks like part of his trip was to a Southern Baptist church, and a lot of the Bibles he signed were people's personal Bibles, including, it says, a 10-year-old girl's Bible that was outfitted in pink camouflage.
Love the pink camo. I've dissuaded my daughter several times from the pink camo. I think we may have one, have a hat. We have a pink camo hat. That's only one. I said, honey, that doesn't do anything. It's not utilitarian. Well, everything doesn't have to be utilitarian. I guess I'm just being a dad. All right, to the phones. And Ron, hey, it's our buddy Ron Reams up next. Hey, Ron.
Hi there, John. How are you guys doing this morning?
Doing good.
Right. All right. Let me tell you a little bit about my culture, because I grew up in the home of a minister of music, part-time minister of music in the Atlanta area for Baptist churches. So that is my Christian background, my Christian family background. And when I was growing up, we had celebrities, we had ministers, we had people who were evangelists. all come through churches, and it was traditional, basically, for people who were like evangelists or preachers that you admired, you would have them sign your Bible. Now, I never had anybody sign my Bible on the outside. I think that's kind of odd, but it's a personal taste issue. If anybody wants to do that, that's up to them. I'm like another caller who called a few minutes ago. I suspect this is just another avenue to be critical of Donald Trump.
Of course it is. That's not a hot take. That's what is on display here. I'm not really even this issue doesn't move me much one way or another, other than pointing out that he's damned if he does, damned if he doesn't.
That's right. That's right. And the thing is, like I said, this has happened in the past with no great consternation from people. If I had had a chance to have Billy Graham, who was a nationally known person, to sign my Bible, I would. Or at the same time, if I had a chance to have Pat Boone, who is a well-known Christian, sign a Bible, right, I would.
You'd had a Pat Boone autograph. That'd be worth something on eBay. What about that? Could you sell? Would it be blasphemous? Hold on, Ron. Would it be blasphemous to sell your Pat Boone signed Bible on eBay?
I don't know. It. I think it'd be so valuable to me personally. It's like that thing. If this is something of value to these people, if they wanted Trump to sign it because it would be a personal memento to them, whose business is it?
There we go. That's
signed their Bible.
I think that's what it gets down to. Thanks for the call, Ron. Hey, by the way, I got this question from Donnie on the text line. Donnie, I have been looking at getting my Mississippi non-resident fishing license. Mm-hmm. Story came out this morning on the Snapper front. Mississippi is opening May 24th, so the Memorial Day weekend. Alabama's not opening until June 1st with our dates. In the past, we've opened sometimes when we had the state season for Memorial Day. And so Donnie says, why do they get to fish so much longer? Mississippi actually doesn't. They get the same days. They're closed, so they're opening early and staying open later because they're opening like May 24th, and I think they're going through September something, but I think the entire month of July they're shut down.
So, wow.
Same number of days. That's the thing about having local, some local input. Different states are applying the snapper days differently. So we're taking it kind of as much in a row as you can with the Friday, Saturday, Sundays. And Mississippi's choosing to go early and go late, but take out the middle. So it's just, that's the, that's how that works.
Yeah, right. That's big, missing Memorial Day weekend for Alabama.
So I'm not going to miss it. I'm going to buy that out-of-state license and go over to Mississippi, launch a Heron Bay or Bayou Heron, and head out there. Although I just gave everybody, now we're not going to be able to get a spot to park the trailer at the launch. All right, Freddie in Mobile up next. Hey, Freddie.
Yes, good morning, Sean. Please do me a favor. When you have Rob Hobart back in your office again, ask him to do something for me, if you don't mind. I live in the downtown area, and this cold terminal down there is killing all the birds in the neighborhood.
All the birds are dead?
You don't see any pigeons in this area at all. It's not dust, Sean. It's cold itself. You put a bird feed out, and in the morning, it's all cold in the bottom of the water. These birds are drinking that crap. It's going in their system, and it's killing them. If it was dust, water would dissolve it. It doesn't dissolve. It's just like sea salt. It's a fine cushion of coal dust coming from that terminal. You know what the people are doing up in Alabama with that Alabama Power, with that coal ash. We sending it up there to them, and it's killing people in this area, Sean.
Okay, well, and we get, they've addressed it a couple of times, and I don't know where the council is the last time it was brought in front of them on the dust from McDuffie, but at the because I know there was a move maybe to put covers over the piles or something like that, but you're telling me it's killed all the birds?
It's no birds showing any squirrels. I moved here 20 years ago, birds was everywhere, Sean. My sidewalk, I had it water blasted, nothing but coal. It's not dust. If it was dust, the water would dissolve it. It's just granular coal that's coming from that terminal. Case of Castaway said she was going to do something about it. But what is it doing to the bay out there? All of this stuff is washing back in. When you eat those oysters, you're going to be eating that coal from that coal terminal down there, Sean.
So it'll be like coal-fired oysters, but just without the fire.
all of this crap is washing into the bay.
I'm with you. I've been talking about this. I've been talking about keeping our waterways clean for a decade on this show, let alone for decades before that. So, I'm on board with that move. We'll find out what the latest is. I don't know that it's been addressed, whether it's coal or whether it's dust or not. If it comes from the sky, I think it would be like a dust, mm-hmm. right? But so, okay, Freddie, we'll see what's going on with that. And if I think probably there's a chance that both Rob Holbert and Casey Calloway would be listening this morning. So either y'all or both of y'all get with Freddie on that one. All right, 3430106. Oh, yeah, people saying the other places, you said the Playboy, the other places President Trump had signed. Yeah, sure, you go down the list. Once again, people are making a choice. If somebody came out and said everybody should have had their Bibles signed by President Trump, I would be completely 180 on this thing and be saying y'all are a bunch of fools.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all are a bunch of fools.
But if it's your Bible
and you make a choice and the president makes a choice to sign it, why does it become such a big deal? And I mean, why didn't fake Melania say anything about it?
She could have
stepped the body double Melania. That first lady body double could have stepped in and done something.
That's another thing. The first lady also was signing Bibles. So if those fake Melania truthers out there, if they want to get a handwriting expert to check out the signature, there would be your answer.
There you go. Yeah, you got a little bit of a crack in the door. You see the light coming through, conspiracy theorist. You can go get after it right now. All right, 8:46. Coming right back. 3430106 3430106. FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Glad to have you here on this Monday. Sean, Dalton, Dr. Bill, Kane with traffic, and of course you at 3430106. Set a record high yesterday, feeling like spring, even though we have 10 days left in winter, and we've got a cold front coming by this weekend. But right now, if you've got the spring fever, spring cleaning going on, time to identify the junk around your house, get it out of the way, makes cleaning a lot easier. Here's how it worked. Now, I saw the 1-800-GOT-JUNK truck by my house. That was Friday afternoon. They were working late. It was like 5:30 or something like that. That's fine, because that must be the time that they set the appointment and set the day to get the junk gone. So if you have junk at the office, you have junk at the house, outside the house, I've talked about it before, even if it's like a swing set or something you don't know how to get rid of, train this crew, get rid of stuff like that too. He's told me before when he went out to clean out a backyard storage building, mm-hmm. Place you put lawnmowers and all that kind of stuff, the people said not only they want the stuff in there gone, they said, heck, take the structure with you as you go. They dismantled it, got rid of that as well. So you got junk, you need it gone, storage units, anywhere you have junk, you want it gone quickly, you need 1-800-GOT-JUNK. That's my buddy Trey, working in Mobile and Baldwin County. It's commercial property, residential properties, storage units, job site. Wherever you got junk, you need it gone, you need 1-800-GOT-JUNK. So make the call, 1-800-GOT-JUNK, or go online to go to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, and they will. They'll make that appointment with you. It won't be a spectrum of time. They'll give you an actual day, an actual time, and that's when they show up. All right, 8:52, FM Talk 106.5. By the way, today is National Napping Day.
Is that because of the daylight saving time?
Yes. Says today is National Napping Day because you lost an hour of sleep going into Sunday morning. Why is it not Sunday? Why is it Monday on the work day?
Yeah. Well, I saw somebody tweet that, why don't we switch the clocks over, spring forward at 4 p.m. on Monday?
Yeah.
Let everybody get off work at technically 4 p.m. Mm-hmm. It would be 5 p.m. then, but why does it have to be overnight Sunday morning when everyone is, or most people are off for the week? Just do it at 4 o'clock on Monday. Let everybody get an extra hour off.
I did see this story New York Post had. It said a nap is as good as a pill for lowering your blood pressure. Afternoon nap is just as effective as taking a pill to lower blood pressure, according to new research. Scientists found those who enjoyed a midday snooze were more likely to experience a drop in blood pressure compared to adults who stayed awake. American Heart Association guidance states normal systolic blood pressure readings should be less than 120 and normal diastolic blood pressure reading should be less than 80, so 120 over 80. In a trial involving 212 people with an average age of 62, Greek researchers found a daily 49-minute nap slashed their systolic blood pressure readings by 5. Researchers said this is similar to a drop in what patients experience after taking a low-dose blood pressure pill. I mean, I would say there's a lot of, well, there's very few people that do the two-a-days in this business, two shows a day, but there's a couple. For a long time, Todd Schnitt, who's on the evenings here, did, and he and I communicated back and forth. He takes us, he doesn't have to do all the other stuff. He just does the two shows, and he doesn't have to run the business thing, and he takes, like, a big nap in the middle of the day, and he gets back up for the afternoon show.
His was morning and afternoon, right?
Yeah.
So, okay, that's similar to what you do.
Except, yeah. He was on at 2 instead of noon, and he would take this big nap every day. I'd love to do it, but I don't know that I could maybe make myself do that. It'd be awesome. I don't know how I'd do it if I'd have a bed here at the station or something like that back in my office.
A lot of people that abide by the 20-minute nap rule. There's a theory out there that you could take, I forget how many it is, but if you took a 20-minute nap 5 or 6 times throughout the day, then you wouldn't need to sleep overnight. That's what they say. You get as much REM sleep doing that, which I tried that once. I can't fall asleep and wake up in 20 minutes. First off, it takes me 20 minutes to fall asleep at least. And then waking up in 20 minutes, I just hit the snooze button if I have nothing else to do.
Is that okay? So that's like a sleep equivalent of those diets that say you don't eat any meal, you just have like snacks every 2 hours or something like that?
Now, I do think a 20-minute nap during the day can help you out big time to say you come back more focused, and even just resting your eyes, trying not to focus on any work or any email, anything like that, that does help you come back refreshed and ready to go for the second part of your day. But the 5 20-minute naps a day thing, a little much for me.
All right. We'll start working on just one nap a day. Nap policy around here. It'll be nap time. We'll have juice and cookies. It'll be great.
Well, you could eat ice cream now. Have a bit easier.
Ice cream? You had a story about ice cream, the bedtime ice cream.
Yeah, so the big ice cream, they took a look at their numbers, and they're like, people just aren't eating ice cream at night like they used to. Must be all the health news out there about how sugar's bad for you and eating at night is worse for you than eating during the day when your metabolism's running. So they said, what can we do to get people to start eating ice cream at night? And here comes a new ice cream called Night Food. Now, it doesn't have any melatonin or anything like that in it, but they say that it's easier to digest. So it's ice cream that you can eat at night that makes it a little easier on your system as you sleep overnight. Said it has more magnesium and calcium in it. Magnesium, of course, helps you sleep a little bit better, unless you eat too much magnesium. Then you're in trouble overnight. Yes. It has low-caffeine cocoa powder, they say.
Who has that much trouble eating? I mean, I deny myself, except when I get a chance to go by Cammie's. That's one of the reasons we go to Cammie's Old Dutch and don't bring Cammie's Old Dutch in the house, because I can't deal with the temptation. We go there, we have it, and then we leave. But who can't deal? How soft are you when my life is being ruined by eating ice cream late? Then don't eat it so late. I don't know. I mean, just then have it earlier.
Or who's searching out low-caffeine cocoa powder? I mean, I am an over-caffeinated person.
Yeah, I'm
5-Hour Energies, Red Bulls, coffee.
It's not
sometimes
good for
I have
you,
them all in the same day. I know it's not good for me, but when it comes to the caffeine scale and what bothers me doesn't bother me, I'm going to see no difference in high-caffeine cocoa powder and low-caffeine cocoa powder.
Is it one of those products they made that's a product looking for a problem? Or was there this hue and cry like, I sure wish I could eat ice cream at 11 o'clock at night and not have it affect me. And there's no way I can back that up to eating it at 7. I could never do that. My schedule won't allow ice cream at 7. It only allows it at 11 o'clock at night, so I need to have this special ice cream.
I don't know. They're selling lots of ice cream, though. Total ice cream sales ending January 26th, the year before that, $6.77 billion.
Say what?
Ice cream sales for the last year ending January 26th, $6.7 billion. Lots of ice cream being eaten
in
America.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was I knew it had some money in it, but.
And $3 billion of that, Cammie's Old Dutch. Lots of people love it.
Cammy's got a, she's got an empire. She is big. She is big ice cream.
I love Cammy's ice cream.
It's like you've heard of big whatever, big for big ice cream. I like that. All right, 858 FM Talk 106.5. We're out of here. Coming back tomorrow morning, bright and early for another edition of this show. I'll be back at noon today for Midday Mobile. Lots to talk about in national news. Also Montgomery. It's not just the infrastructure and gas tax. That's what's going on right now during special session. But oh yeah, lottery talk has been bouncing around up there, and Medicaid expansion. We'll get into all that coming up today, starting at noon. Mike Gallagher on the way next. Y'all have a great one.